some Aaron's and some hers to hold his arms up as we fight this good fight of faith. Amen. And it is good to be here. I don't want to bore you or anything, but I do want to just uplift the Lord this morning. Amen. I'm not in no hurry, and I hope you ain't. Amen. And we've come to worship the Lord. Amen. I love these good songs we've been singing. Love the good choir songs, the congregational. I am looking forward to that day when we all get to heaven. Amen. One day after a while, that's where we're going if you're saved. Amen. I'm glad to know that I'm saved. I'm glad being saved is something you can know. I'm going to need some help right there. Amen. I don't know how these people get by thinking that they're saved or hoping that they're saved or hoping that they're going. You know, I couldn't lay my head on my pillow at night wondering, hoping I've been good enough to make it. Amen. I done read my Bible. It said there's none good. No, not one. Amen. I'm glad my Bible tells me I'm kept by His power and not mine. Amen. But I'm glad in His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And if we just be honest, we're all weak this morning. Amen. We're all a needy people, and the greatest need that we have of this hour is for the Lord Jesus to meet our every need and to meet with us. Amen. I mean, if He don't meet with us, I like that song, "Oh Lord, send the power just now." Amen. I'm thankful for what He did yesterday. I'm thankful for what He did last week, but I'm looking forward for what He's going to do today. Amen. I'm thankful for what He's already done up until this point. And if you'll just be obedient and just open your heart, amen, and let Him use you and fill you, we can leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I'd say, Brother Josh, we could leave right now and say that very thing, but I just want to preach the message the Lord's laid on my heart today and just try to be a help and an encouragement to you. I know that we live in a world that's just full of storms. There's a lot of things going on today and has been for quite some time. And I'm not up here going to get political on you or anything. I'm not looking to the government. I'm glad my trust is in Almighty God. Amen. Amen. The hope this world needs is right here in the pages of this book I hold in my hand. You and I, we have the answers to all the questions that they have. Amen. They want peace. It's found in Jesus. They want comfort. It's found in the pages of God's holy word. Amen. They want to find direction, which way to go, which way to make the right decisions. Just get on their knees, pray, read the Bible, and let God lead. Amen. That's what you and I need to do in our everyday life that we live. Amen. Keep our eyes on Jesus. The psalmist said, "I'll lift up mine eyes and to the hills in which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth." Y'all bear with me. I got to unbutton this. I'm going to choke to death. Amen. I'm glad that I'm looking to the Lord. Amen. He supplies my every need. Amen. He said over in Philippians, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. I like what the preacher said earlier. I like what the other fellow said earlier. "I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Amen. I'm glad my Heavenly Father takes care of His children. Amen. And I'm glad to know today that I'm one of His children. Amen. I hope and pray that you are as well. I'm going to be preaching out of the book of Mark. And out of the book of Mark, I'm not going to preach the whole book of Mark, but I'm going to try to preach some of it. Amen. I'll catch up to you in chapter 4. If you want to go ahead and turn to Mark chapter number 4, I'll catch up to you there in just a moment. But I love the book of Mark. I love the whole Bible. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I like what I heard one preacher say one time. Just take your Bible and turn. It don't matter where you turn. It's God's word. Amen. It's all God's word. But I'm glad that God has a specific message, a specific word for a specific time in our life. Amen. You may not need what I'm going to preach today. You may not need it today. But I promise you, you will need it. Amen. And because we all need it. Amen. And I know if it helps me, God gives it to me, it'll be a help and an encouragement to you also at some point in time. But the book of Mark is often known and referred to as the book of miracles. Amen. The gospels, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all just coincide one with another. Each one has their own perspective of a different event that takes place, a different message that Jesus preached, different things that He done. They don't contradict one another. On the contrary, they just back one another up. Amen. It may give a different look, a different perspective. Dr. Luke, he may go into a little more detail than Matthew or Mark did. Amen. Each one has their own perspective of what they're doing, but it's all being pinned down by the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I'm going to be in the book of Mark today, and it is the book of miracles. We see in chapter number 1, down around verse number 9, we see here that John just got through baptizing Jesus. And we see in verse 10 and 11, God the Father honoring God the Son. He said in verse number In Mark chapter number 1, in verse number 9, he said, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Verse 10, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And look at verse number 11, boy, hallelujah. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Boy, I'm glad that's some words that you and I can hear one day, amen. We're going to stand before the Lord one day. I ain't looking forward to that judgment seat of Christ. I believe that's going to be a little rough and rocky, preacher. But I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear those words, amen. That's something that you and I ought to desire as Christians as we live our life for the Lord. We're not working our way to heaven. We are working because we are on our way to heaven, amen. I mean, it's not a works salvation as a lot of people are trying to get out here and peddle and preach today. Neighbor, Jesus Christ has already done the work. It's a finished work on the cross of Calvary. My Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8 and 9, he said that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Neighbor, Jesus here in Mark chapter number 1, in verse number 15, we see he's probably preaching his first public message right here. He's just been baptized, and John has been put in prison now. In verse 15, he says, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The first message we have recorded here in the book of Mark of the Lord Jesus preaching, he is preaching repentance. That is what's missing in churches and pulpits all across America today is repentance. Maybe it still takes repentance in order to be saved. In the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, Jesus talking again, Jesus saith unto them, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Neighbor, Jesus wants you to repent. I'm glad that he made a way, aren't you? I'm glad that he made a way. We see through here in chapter 1, we see over, he's healing the sick, he's casting out devils. Everywhere he went, he's performing these miracles. And you see that all through the book of Mark, it's the miracle book. In chapter number 2, we see in verse number 1, the Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Now, Brother Josh, I wanted to preach, let's just make some noise, amen? That's what I wanted to preach this morning, just make some noise. Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, amen? And there's other places in the Bible where that word noise is used, where it says that's all they were doing was just making a noise. They was making a racket. They was just sounding like they were doing something. And Jesus put them aside just because they were making a noise coming from within themselves. He said in chapter 2, he said again, he's still preaching, he's still healing. He said, I love them first 12 verses in chapter 2, those four friends. But would to God that you and I could have the same character, that we could be a friend to somebody the way these four gentlemen were here in chapter number 2. These four men, they had a friend who was sick of the palsy. He couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't get to Jesus. But boy, they had heard that Jesus, he said in verse 1, it was noised that he was in the house. The Lord was preaching. They were bringing people to him. They said, hey, they got together. I'm going to get to chapter 4 in just a minute, brother. Amen. Hey, they were right here. They said, hey, let's go get our buddy. Jesus is in town. If we can just get him to Jesus, I know everything will be okay. Neighbor, can I say that same thing this morning? Boy, if we can just get our family to Jesus, if we can just get our loved ones to Jesus, if we can just get people to Jesus, everything will be okay. Amen. Neighbor, let's get them to the Lord Jesus. You know the story. I ain't got to tell it all to you. They got there. It was a crowd everywhere. They couldn't even come nigh in the house for the press. It was a whole group of people. Neighbor, I'm glad, let me just give you three things. They didn't let the crowd stop them. They didn't let the climb stop them because they had to climb up on the roof. Amen. They didn't let the clay stop them either. They tore that roof off to let him down where Jesus was. We ought not let anything stop us from getting people to Jesus. How many times do we make excuse? We pull up, boy, there's just too many people around here. Somebody liable to see me pass out this track. Lord help us now. Well, we make excuses. I'm glad the Lord didn't make any excuses. Amen. He had his face set like a flint toward Calvary. My Bible tells me that he was as a lamb slain before the foundations of the world were ever laid. Calvary was already in the heart and mind of God. And you know what else is there? You and I was already in the heart. Because you and I are the reason there was a Calvary. He came to die. I love John 3:16, probably the most quoted verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see in Mark chapter number 3, verse number 1, and he entered again into the synagogue. Boy, you see a pattern here? Again. I'm glad that Jesus had an again ministry, ain't you? Boy, I'm glad that the Lord, he came by my way again and again and again. I'm glad he just didn't deal with me one time and leave me alone. He'd have been just and right in doing so, Brother Josh. If he'd just dealt with me and I said no, he could have left me alone and he'd have still been God. Amen. He'd have been just and right in doing so. But I'm glad I serve a God that is an again God. Amen. And we see here, again he entered and again he went and again he did this. He's still preaching. He's still healing. And we see here, in chapter 3, he's naming the 12. The 12 are being chosen. He's naming them off. And you see here in chapter number 4, I'm trying to hurry. We see in chapter number 4, in verse number 1. In verse 1, he said, and he began again to teach by the seaside. We started off in chapter number 1, he was teaching in the synagogue. Then you see in chapter 2, he's in somebody's house. He's preaching and teaching in there. Now we find him by a seaside. What's he doing? The same thing. He's still preaching. He's still teaching. He's giving parables. He's doing all of these things. He gives them in chapter 4, the parable of the sower, the parable of the mustard seed. What is this? He's teaching them faith. Yes. He started out in chapter 1 telling them, you got to repent. You got to repent. Yes. And now he's teaching them all about faith.
Amen.
Showing them that, hey, you've got to put your faith in him.
Amen.
You got to repent. You got to believe that I am who I say I am. God the Father has already voiced out of heaven for everybody there to hear that day. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus is preaching repentance. He's preaching repentance and faith. Chapter number 4, I'm going to join you now in verse 35. I want to look at verse number 35 here this morning. Start right there. The Bible says, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, I never read verse 35 without stopping and automatically want to go to chapter 5 and read verse 1. Yeah. Chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea.
Yes,
boy, hey, if Jesus tells you, let's go over to the other side, guess what? We're going to the other side.
Amen.
Now, there's a whole lot can happen between this shore and that shore, and there will be. Amen.
Yes.
But I'm glad we have a promise from God. We're going to the other side.
Amen.
Boy, January the 9th, 1994, hallelujah. I bowed down in an altar and asked God to forgive me of my sins, save my hell-deserving soul. You know what? He did. He bathed me in his blood. Amen. He clothed me in his righteousness, and he set my feet on a solid rock. Amen. And he is that rock. Amen. I'm glad that he saved me on that night.
Yes, sir.
Even though I had made a profession of faith when I was 10 years old. Brother Josh, as sincere as a 10-year-old boy could be, I knelt down by a kitchen table and my mother took a Bible and showed me how to be saved. And as sincere as a 10-year-old boy could be, boy, I cried them big old tears. I prayed a prayer just as sincere as I could be. But you know what? I got up 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I knew that the true desires of my heart wasn't to please God. I was going to church. I was teaching Sunday school. I was working with the youth. I'd try to play the piano and sing. I'd do all these good works around the church because I knew how to do them. Amen. Because my daddy was the pastor and I was kind of obligated to do it. Amen. I was fulfilling my role, so to speak, but I was doing it from all up here. The whole time down in my heart was somewhere else. I was wanting to do something else. Yeah, I didn't get out here and live in no wicked sin, but you know what? Lost church people die and go to the same hell as the people that die outside of church. Amen. Matter of fact, I believe it might be a little harder. You know, I ain't going to split no hairs with you on that, but, you know, hey, going to hell from a church pew would be an awful place to go to hell from.
Amen.
Going to hell is awful anyway.
Yes.
But to imagine go to hell from sitting on a church pew, service after service after service after service, with an altar right in front of you, with a man of God up here preaching the Bible to you week after week after week after week, praying and laboring faithfully over your soul. Neighbor, it's so important, the Bible says, that we make our call and our election sure. I knew I wasn't saved. I was just a hypocrite living a hypocrite life. But I'm glad for that Monday night, amen, January the 9th, 1994. God convicted me, showed me I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. I was putting on a front. Preacher got up, boy, Brother Buster Seaton was his name. He's preaching out of Luke chapter number 5 about putting an old garment on a new, about putting old wine in new bottles. It'd just make a rent, wanted bust. what he was doing, it was just me, the preacher, and the Holy Ghost is the only one at church that night, I believe. Every excuse I made, you know what he did? He just ripped it up. Amen. I'd make, well, my daddy's a pastor. So what? I do this. Well, so what? Making all these excuses. You're still going to die and go to hell. You're lost. You need to be saved. He was tearing me up. But he gave that invitation. I couldn't get that altar fast enough. I come there and I bowed down that altar. My daddy come over and put his arm around me. Son, can I help you pray about something? I said, Daddy, I'm sorry. I've lived a lie all these years. I'm a hypocrite. I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't get saved. My daddy didn't try to talk me out of anything. Amen. He didn't say, well, son, don't you remember when you was 10 years old up on that mountain in Tennessee by that kitchen table? Don't you remember what your mama told you? No, no, no. He didn't do that at all. You know what he did? He took his arm out from around me, knelt down there beside me, and begged God to save his boy as strong as I was begging God to save his boy. Amen. And thank God that he did. Amen. But Josh, if I'd be honest, I probably preached my first message that night when I got up out of the altar. I got up out of that altar and I turned around. I confessed to the church the life I'd been living, that it was just a lie. I told him that God, I just asked God to forgive me, and he did. And I asked the church to forgive me for being a hypocrite that I was. Didn't nobody throw no stones at me. Amen. You know what they did? They come up here and give me the right hand of fellowship, hug my neck, and thank God that I knew I was saved. Neighbor, that's what Christians will do, amen? That's what saved folk will do. They'll love on you. They'll hug you. I mean, they'll support you. They'll pray for you. They'll get right in there with you and help you any way that they can. Boy, I thank God for that. Right here in Mark chapter number 4. In Mark chapter number 4. I want to try and preach a message to you just for the next few minutes. I know what time it is. It's 11:02 in Alabama. So, amen. This part of the chapter here in chapter number 4 is talking about a storm. And it's not just any storm. As we'll read here in just a moment in your hearing, we'll see that it is a great storm. Let's look at your Bible. Verse 35 once again. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him. Look at your Bible now. Verse 35, it said, he, talking about Jesus, he saith unto them, talking about the disciples, let us pass over the other side. And when they sent a multitude away, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can come together and worship you. Thank you, Lord, for everything that's already been said and done in this service today. And God, I pray right now you'll bless the reading of your word. We claim your promise that it won't return void. Bless the remainder of this service, I do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes. I'll not keep you long. But with this thought in mind, on seeing more than just the storm. Seeing more than just the storm. So many times in our life, that is all that we focus on is the storm that we're in, the storm that we just came out of, or we're looking ahead trying to find where the next one is. Am I not telling the truth? So many times that's where our focus is at, is on the storm. But neighbor, can I encourage you this morning with the good help of God? I mean, that there is more to see than just the storm. Amen? And I thank God that I want to give you just about three things and we'll go to the house. Amen. Amen. I'm glad. I mean, he says here their focus was on the storm. I want to say this right here. God is aware of your storm. But he is not alarmed by your storm. He is aware of your storm, but he is not alarmed by them. We see here in verse 36, they took him even as he was. They were also with him other little ships. Amen. We see in verse number 35, there's the other side. Seeing more than just the storm. They sent the multitudes away. They took him even as he was, put him on a ship. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. Neighbor, there's more to see than the storm. There's the other side. You know what? He's talking about heaven's shore. I told you God saved me January the 9th. He put me in that lifeboat. And now guess what? I am on my way to heaven.
Amen.
I have sailed some rough waters. I have sailed some smooth waters. Amen. Somebody help me out right there. Just as you all have. We have all faced tragedy. We have all faced grief. We've had sorrow. We've had heartache. We've had trouble. We've had storms. We've had all of these things. But you know what? With the child of God, you hadn't had to go through one second of it alone and by yourself.
Amen.
Jesus has been on board every step of the way.
Yes.
Whether we acknowledged it or not, he has always been right where we left him.
Amen.
I'm glad he said he'll never leave me. There's been times, Brother Josh, that I've kind of walked away.
Sure.
That I hadn't been as, that didn't mean I lost my salvation. No, I'm still saved.
Amen.
I said I'm still saved. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all believe in eternal security, right? Amen.
Amen.
We are in a Baptist church. Somebody say amen, amen right there. Amen. Eternal security, it's in the Bible. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank God. He never left me. There's been times in my life that I've drifted and got away from him.
Sure.
I'm still his child. He's still my heavenly Father.
Amen.
He's had to come and, you know,
yeah,
get that belt, you know, get me back in line, get fellowship restored. Hey, the relationship was never broken.
Right.
Fellowship gets broken sometimes.
Yeah.
And fellowship has to be restored through correction,
amen,
through repentance,
right,
through some confession.
Boy.
I'm sorry, Lord.
Yeah. Come on.
Hey, it's rough, but hey, it sure is sweet to get that fellowship,
amen,
back. Well, I wish I could. I wish I had time to preach right there in a little while. There's the other side. There's heaven's shore. Neighbor, I'm glad that we have a promise from God that we're going to the other side. I'm not just headed to the grave. I'm headed to heaven.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, I love this word, are. Are. Not will be, not was, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. That where I go, he said, I will come again.
Yeah.
Receiving to myself that where I am there, you may be also.
Yes, sir.
He said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I'm glad he said in verse 6, that same chapter, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neighbor, there's the other side. You remember, whatever storm you're in, there's the other side.
Yes, sir.
That means this storm, it ain't going to last forever. There is an end to it. It may not seem like it at times, but there is an end to it because we're headed to the other side.
Amen.
There's heaven's shore. There's his promise, and there's his presence. They're in the middle of this storm, but they have the promise that they're going to the other side. Jesus is on board. He's not in their sight, per se. He's in the hinder part of the ship. Bible says asleep on a pillow. That's what the Bible says. But his presence is still there. Neighbor, I'm glad that we're not alone in this life. I made reference to this poem earlier in the week. But I love that poem, Footprints. It means so much to me. I talk about it all the time.
Amen.
It means, it has meant a lot to me. It's been more real to me the past 4 years of my life than any other point in time in my life. Because of storms and things that we've faced and gone through. You all know the poem. You're familiar with it, I'm sure. Fella gets down toward the end of his life and he's looking back over his life and he's walking down that seashore and he sees two sets of footprints, but then he gets to looking a little bit closer and sometimes he only sees one. And then he got to looking at those one set of footprints and it was at the biggest storms of his life. It was during his darkest days he only saw the one set. And he began to question God. He said, God, you were with me all those times. Why did you leave me during the greatest storms of my life? And the Lord had to remind him, son, those aren't your footprints. Those are mine.
Amen.
Boy, aren't you glad we have a heavenly Father that loves us. When we can't put one foot in front of the other, he'll just love us on up.
Amen.
Deuteronomy says, underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Boy, he'll pick us up and he'll carry us through.
Yeah.
Boy, can I say this right here? Grace don't necessarily take pain away.
Right.
Grace doesn't necessarily ease the pain of whatever storm you're going through.
Right.
But you know what grace does? It carries you
yeah.
in and through your storm. I'm living proof of that today. I'm sure many of you could say the same thing. Grace carries you. You know how we're going to heaven? Because of grace. Grace is what's carrying us to heaven. Grace is what's carrying us to the other side. Well, there's heaven, sure. There's His promise, His presence. I'm glad we're not alone. Let me hurry. Verse number 36, seeing more than just the storm. There's not only the other side, there's the other ships. Look at verse number 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship. And there were also with, look at that now, this is important. There were also with Him other little ships. The Bible didn't say there were also with them. It said there were also with Him other little ships. Yes, Jesus is on this particular ship. The disciples are on that ship with Him, but they were also with Him. They weren't the only ones sailing through the other side. You know what, folks? You and I, we're those other little ships. We're with Him. They were following Him. They had seen the sick healed. They had seen devils cast out. They've seen all these miracles that He's doing. Boy, and they're following. Hey, wherever He's going, I'm going. I like that song we sang, where He leads, I'll follow. Well, we ought to think about them words sometimes. Hey, it's easy to follow when it's smooth and level. It's easy to follow when, you know, it's about 68 or 70 degrees and the sky is blue, got a good little breeze blowing. Yeah. Boy, it's easy then. It's easy when ain't nobody sick. All the bills are paid and everybody's well. Yeah, boy, there's gas in the tank. Somebody say amen on gas in the tank right now. Amen. It's easy when everything is smooth. But what about when it ain't smooth? What about when it ain't level no more? Now you're climbing this hill. You know, now you're in this storm. Now you walk up and all you look up and, Lord, all I see is these dark clouds. Lord, all I see is a storm. I'm glad there's more to see than just a storm. Those other little ships, they were with Him. They were following Him. You know what? They were going to the other side too. They had the same presence, the same promise, and the same power as the disciples did. Because Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. No doubt they heard that same message. They heard that same promise when Jesus said, let us pass over. You know what they did by faith? But they got in their ship and they went to rowing. Jesus is going that way. Hey, we're going with Him. Hey, that's what we need to do too. Amen. Those other little ships. I'm glad that's where we are. He said in verse number 37, now they're out there. They're in the midst of this sea somewhere. They're headed to the other side. Everything's good. Jesus is asleep. It seems like everything's okay. But then you get to verse 37. And the Bible says, and there arose not just any storm, not just a storm, but the Bible says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You got to remember right here and keep in mind, this weren't just ordinary men on this boat. These were grown men. A lot of them were fishermen, made their living out in these waters. No doubt they had been out there. They had been in storms before. But they had never been in a storm as great as this one right here. They feared for their very life. They were scared to death. Well, Josh, I remember back in May of 1989, I was on the USS Forrestal CV-59 aircraft carrier. And I remember one night we were going into a storm. And they took all the fighter jets and everything off the deck and they brought it down into the belly of that ship and they locked everything down. They closed them big bay doors on the side. Nobody was allowed up there. Why? Because we was in a storm. That flight deck to the surface of the water was 90 feet. And there was waves crashing up there next to that thing. That boat out there did go up and then it did come down. It'd go up and it did come down. Was I nervous? Yeah, I wasn't as nervous as some of them guys that was with me. I was one guy's named Jerry. He had a cigarette in both hands. He was worried and scared to death. We was in a great storm. And he said, why ain't you worried? I said, because my mama's back home praying for me. My mama told me, I'll see you when you get back off this boat and you're going to see me when you get back off this boat. So I was okay. Mama was praying for me. Yeah, I was nervous, but I wasn't scared to death. Somebody help me out right there. Amen. It's different going through storms with the Lord. Brother Josh made mention a moment ago, he and I worked together at the funeral home. And time after time, night after night after night, we'd spend all night going because the phone would ring and somebody, tragedy, grief had struck their home. And they trusted us enough to get to call us to come and help them. And I'm glad that we had that opportunity. I hated it for the family. My heart went out to them. But I'm glad we got to go and pray with them and offer them hope and offer them comfort, because a lot of times it was a child of God that just made the crossing on over into glory. Yeah. The Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, the, whoo, whoo. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's hope in that.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know I'm going to see my loved ones again. I got some loved ones over there. I got a mama over there. I got grandparents over there. I've got my oldest son's over there. My late wife's over there. She died a few years ago. What, I thank God for the promises that we have in his word. You know what? I'm glad the storm is not the final story. There's the other side. I'm glad when you come out of the storm. Amen. I'm going to just stop here and say something. I'm thankful for what God is doing in my life. Can I just be real transparent with you all? Y'all don't know me. I don't know y'all. I know Brother Josh. I know some of you a little bit. Amen. Thank God. I thought my life was over. Lost my oldest son 4 years ago. Then about a year and a half after that, I lost my wife. Brother Josh, I thought, Lord, what in the world? I've never been in a storm like this. I wasn't looking for nothing. Lord, are you done? Is it me? What have I done? Hey, but I'm saying just because you go through things don't mean it's punishment. Amen. The Lord allows you to go through storms in your life so you can be a comfort and a help and encouragement to others. And I'm glad just because you go through storms like that, that don't mean that your life is over.
Amen.
That chapter may be finished, but God is not finished. I'm glad to stand before you today and tell you he's still writing my story.
Yes.
He's doing things for me that I never thought would have done. He's answering prayers that I didn't even pray. I was satisfied and settled with being where I'm at. Lord, if this is what you want for me, I'll just serve you the rest of the days of my life, whatever you want. And out of the blue, he brought a lady in my life.
What about that?
Praise God. Amen. Somebody say amen other than the preacher. Honey, you need to say amen. 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 Okay. What I'm saying is, boy, God sure is good. Amen. I'm glad he gives you handfuls on purpose when you ain't even looking. Amen. And I thank God for what he's doing in my life. In the midst, I'm glad there's more to see than just the storm. Somebody help me out. Amen. Let me hurry and get through this. There's the other ships. We looked at that. There's the other side, the other ships. Neighbor, can I hurry and tell you about there's the other spirit. Verse 38, they woke him up. Lord, Master, carest not that we perish. Verse 39, Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a, look at this, great calm. We went from a great storm to a great calm. Just like that, at the spoken word of the Lord. It wasn't no long, drawn-out time. They went and woke him up.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody needs to go get Jesus.
Come on.
You in a storm, you better go get Jesus.
Yeah.
He's aware of your storm. He's not alarmed by it. He just wants you to come to him.
Yeah. Amen.
There's the other spirit. Jesus didn't address the disciples immediately, directly.
Yeah.
They came, woke him up. Told him all these things. He probably looked at him, walked out on the bow of that ship, spoke these words I just read to you. And then he looked at them. Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The other spirit, there's a spirit of fear and there's a spirit of faith. Now you got to think about this. In Mark chapter number 1, what was he doing? He was preaching repentance. He was healing the sick. He was casting out devils. Mark chapter number 2, a continuation of the same thing. Just growing, just getting on a wider, broader, word spreading abroad. Then we find him by the seaside in chapter 3, in chapter 4, and he's teaching them, he's giving them parables about the sower. You know what that is? That's a picture and a type of faith. They've cultivated that ground. They've planted that seed. They've covered it up. They've watered it. Now they step back, and what are they doing? They're in faith, believing that what they've done is going to grow. God is going to honor that.
Amen.
Then he talks about the mustard seed. If you got the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be. I'm talking about, that's what Jesus has been preaching and teaching them is faith, faith, faith.
Yes.
And then he gives them a promise, let's pass over to the other side. And the first great storm they come through, they thought they're going to die.
Yeah, come on.
How soon we forget the promises of God.
Amen.
If we'll just remember the promises that he's given us, that we're going to the other side.
Amen.
That we're not alone in our storms that we're going through. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Maybe he's the God man.
Yeah.
He was God manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
Don't you let anybody tell you otherwise, that Jesus was just a good man or a great prophet, that he was not God. Let me give you a verse of scripture. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Listen carefully now. God, capital G, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, capital S, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, that's you and I, somebody say amen,
amen,
believed on in the world, received up into glory. You can talk about that received, that's over in Acts chapter number 1. God was manifest in the flesh. Abraham, I'm talking about the God-man, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad there's more to see than just the storm, aren't you? Abraham, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what kind of storm. You may not even be in a storm. But I do know this, the Lord's not going to tarry his coming, because the Bible said he wasn't going to tarry. There is a day appointed, amen. Behold, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. There is a day appointed when he's coming back. It wasn't yesterday.
Amen.
I'm still here.
Yes.
Brother Josh, I'm trusting you're still here. Amen. He hadn't come as of, 11:23 Alabama time. He hadn't come back yet. That don't mean he won't come back before this service is over.
Right.
When that time gets here, the Father's going to look at the Son and say, Son, it's time. Go get your bride.
Yeah.
And neighbor, we're going to a wedding. Amen. Like to a wedding you ain't never been to before. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of the bride of Christ.
Yes.
I'm saved by his grace, washed in his blood. Heard one preacher say, I've been washed in the blood. I just ain't been ironed out yet. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, we'll get ironed out when we get over there. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Seeing more than just the storm. I hope that's an encouragement to you this morning. You've all gone through storms. The Lord don't come back, we're going to go through some more. But let's remember, we don't have to go through them alone. Get your Bible, throw your anchor out, amen, and just go on for Jesus, amen. Get with this pastor, get with him, back him up, pray for him. He'll pray for you and pray with you, amen. Church, we're going to the other side. Let us go to the other side. The only way to get there is to know that you're saved by the grace of God. You're not going to heaven because you're a member of Gateway Baptist Church. You're not going to heaven just because you've been baptized in a pool of water. You're only going to go to heaven if you've repented by faith and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Calvary on the cross. Amen? That's how you're going to get to heaven. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand here one more time. God, I thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Lord, and they're so gracious, Lord. Lord, to sit here attentively, Lord, and amen, the preaching, Lord, the word. God, I pray you'll just meet every one of them's need. God, you'll just give them a special blessing from on high as only you can. Lord, bless Brother Josh, Lord. It thrills my heart to see what you're doing, Lord, with him and through him here at Gateway. Be with his wife, Lord, Miss Tara, Lord, his children. Lord, just keep your hand up on them, I pray. Lord, we love you. Bless now, Lord, in this time of invitation. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.